What a great morning so far. There's just a sense of joy and excitement and faith and encouragement in this place. And I just want to just begin this morning just by saying thank you to some dear friends of mine that have come along this morning that have either moved to the coast in recent times. But in particular, I just want to mention my business partner of the last number of years, Roman Dredge, who's sitting down the front here. We go a long way back. We were both youth pastors at the same time, then executive pastors at the same time, and then we were senior pastors of churches at the same time. Had kids. Our first daughters were born 4 weeks apart and almost have identical names, which is a little weird more on my part. But Soraya Grace is our daughter. Zaria Grace is their daughter. And but we've been great friends, and he's been an unbelievable friend and support to me. When I rang him to have the conversation, because we run a company together, to say, hey, been invited to take on a role and we need to have a chat about what this means, I was a little nervous. And he did nothing but have a godly, encouraging, cheer me on conversation that just was so deeply encouraging. So it's an honor to have you sitting next to me this morning. And then I was just thinking when Laurie prayed that extraordinary prayer this morning, which I want to go back over that, and I hope you've written that because I want a copy of that. It was a beautiful prayer. And when you were praying it, I had this moment where I realized my friend and former flatmate from when I was 18 years of age, Sam Pask, and his wife Jane are here. We went through Bible college together and both had Laurie as a lecturer. And so it's like all these like really cool connections. And then one of my other former flatmates is sitting over here, Calvin from and Lisa. It was Calvin, but not Lisa. But and they're here, and some other friends from our church back in Sydney that are on the coast that are here this morning. It's just a joy and a privilege to have you here. So I just want to say thank you. This morning I want to talk about convictions, and it's really the launch and the kickoff to our series that we're going to be really delving into over the next 4 weeks. But it's really important on a day, a significant day like this, a next chapter really for our community, that we remember and give thanks for what God has already done. And I'm coming in at a certain season in the life of Good Life where, as I think back to the early days, the vision that Doug and Marty and the Jeffs and some of those early families had that first gathered, that had a vision to do something pretty radical 30 years ago, to purchase land, to use their resources in the ways that God had blessed them, to be part of something that would have an impact well beyond what they would ever even realize or know. And then over the years, the different pastors from Ben and Tim, who I just want to mention this morning, Tim and Donna, Tim stood behind me this morning and I felt his firm hand and I heard his powerful voice. If you know Tim's voice, he's just got this, every man wants that voice. And the encouragement I felt, which is why it's so good when we lay hands and pray for one another, and I felt that from you, and I want to acknowledge you and thank you for the last season, because you were the pastors when we first came here, and we were so blessed under your teaching and leadership. And now we arrive at this strange day for me. Because Teresa and I sat in here and we had private conversations at certain points about, especially after Tim had announced that he was finishing up, around, oh, is this something that you might be doing? But then going backwards and forwards of, no, it mustn't be. No, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And just journeying, but with this quiet trust that if the Lord has a plan for us next in what he wanted us to do, things that were still deeply in our hearts, but we weren't sure where it was going to be expressed. And then to arrive at this day where we get to celebrate together what this day is about, but also what's ahead, is quite an amazing thing. And as I drove here this morning early and I just prayed, and I was driving down Maroochydore Road and I just felt overwhelmed with gratitude for the incredible privilege and honor it is with Teresa to serve this community. In some ways, we're not the leaders, we're part of a team of leaders and really a wider team of servant-hearted leaders and people that just so deeply believe in the vision and the mission to be a church community for those who aren't part of community. For those who don't know the love that we are discovering more and more in Jesus every day. We haven't got it all figured out, but it's a little bit like we say, hey, on my journey of working out what love is, on my journey of discovering the mystery of the wonder of the creator of the universe, who is all consuming love and mercy and compassion and justice and grace, why don't we go on this journey and walk together and exploring what that looks like? And we get to continue to be part of that. And so that's incredible. The reason for the title Convictions for this series that we're going to move into, especially during February, is because we wanted to explore what are our deep convictions. And it really comes from this question, which we even talked about on Friday with our team as we had an offsite day to explore on this question of what's the story that we want to celebrate in the future? What's the story that would be really cool to tell and to celebrate 12 months from now that happened amongst our community and our center and the people in this community? And I love this question. I ask lots of people this question because if we can creatively imagine with the Spirit's guidance what the future story we'd like to tell and be part of, which God invites us creatively into, if we could imagine, as we look at God's word, as we listen to the gospel of Jesus and his vision of the kingdom of heaven come on earth, and we see what God's mission and plan for humanity is, if we can imagine, what would that look like for us here on the Sunshine Coast and beyond, if we played our part in that moving forwards, what would we be excited to celebrate? In December this year, if we were to have a party or we were to have a service where we gathered and said, right, we got some pretty exciting things to celebrate. Look what happened in 2022. What are the kinds of things we'd want to say? What are the kinds of things we'd imagine everyone standing up and cheering and saying, thank you, God. Praise God. And so I want to talk about, just very briefly, I'm trying to pull off the impossible, a 2-hour message in my heart in a few minutes this morning, which is every preacher's dilemma. But I want to talk about 4 things that we're going to explore over the coming weeks, just really quickly. But I want to begin with a passage found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, in the New Testament. And it's really the story of the early church and what happened when the gospel, the very good news of Jesus and his kingdom, and the Holy Spirit gripped the hearts of the early disciples and followers of Jesus that utterly transformed them. And in chapter 2, we read the account of what's called the Day of Pentecost, a significant day where the Spirit of God comes upon the early followers of Jesus as he promised. And they are so activated with love and passion for what the world can look like under the reign and the rule of Jesus, which was a radical and dangerous idea in a context where the rule and reign was Caesar and the Roman Empire. And they're proclaiming in their worship gatherings that Jesus is Lord, Caesar is not Lord, is the direct counter statement that brings about. And now they are part of this radical movement to see empire and oppression and any form of poverty and injustice broken, but not through military takeover like some of the zealots were hoping would take place. And we're also hoping Jesus would be that kind of military leader. No, Jesus' message, his kingdom, his life was absolutely, utterly nothing like the kingdoms and the systems of this world. It was a radical, cross-shaped, sacrificial love that he was inviting his disciples and all of us into to say, if you want to overcome empire and oppression and everything that's hellish in this world, then join in the radical self-giving love of God. Pick up your cross, deny yourself, not deny the humanity that God created you for, but deny every part of yourself that looks like the systems of this world that would try to selfishly make things work for your own goals and agenda rather than loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and loving your neighbor. So he calls them into this, and on the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up with all these people who have gathered, thousands of people, and they're wanting to know why these early disciples are appearing like drunk people because they're so excited. They've been overcome with the goodness and the power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And so Peter passionately stands up and does this sermon I won't read to you this morning, inviting people to the good life, the radical Jesus way of cross-shaped sacrificial love. He says, repent, which means change your mind, change your perspective. We often just hear the word repent. It's been hijacked by lots of religious people over the year to make people feel very bad about themselves and their life. Whereas when Jesus says it, he says it from a visionary perspective. You know this way of living that does injustice to others and to yourself, that breaks shalom, the peace and wholeness of God? That's no way to live. Come and follow this way. Repent. Change your mindset. Change your direction and come in the way of love. And so Peter passionately calls people to reject the cultures and the things of this world that are so destructive and to come on the radical way of love, which is going to cost you, but it's a better way. And on that day, it says here, and I'm reading from the Message translation today, it says that day about 3,000 took him at his word and they were baptized and they were signed up. This is a paraphrase of the original text here, but I love it. The significance of the 3,000 goes right back to the book of Exodus, where after Moses has come down and announced the law to God's people, there are 3,000 people on that day that end up dying. In many ways, under the curse of the law, because the laws can't liberate and free people. Only the law of Christ, the way of love, does that. And so there's this amazing thing that Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, does in highlighting this 3,000 symbol of people here has significance because it's a reversal of the brokenness of what happens when we try to live this other system of religion. And now there's an invitation to life and life starting now forevermore. And so 3,000 people go, I'm in, sign me up. And then what do? They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the way of the kingdom of heaven, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. And then it goes on and says everyone around was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles, people being liberated, set free, healed, just good, crazy, mysterious stuff taking place. And all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common until Acts chapter 6, where they start whinging and complaining. But we'll leave that for another day, and we'll come back to this really good day at the moment, because these early days were the capture of what happens when your heart just gets captivated by the radical love of Jesus and the Spirit of God just starts transforming who you are. And so they're in this harmony. They're holding everything in common. It says they sold whatever they owned and they pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. This wasn't someone organizing that to happen. This was flowing out of the generosity of their hearts to say, when you capture God's vision of his kingdom, you can't help but say, well, hang on, that's not right that they're suffering or they don't have enough or they don't have someone to care for them or they don't have enough money or food. You just naturally, when God's Spirit is working in you, you say, well, that's not right. We have to do something about that. And that's what we get to be part of. So they followed the daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Every meal, a celebration. Imagine that. No kids whinging about, I don't like veggies. It's just like, no, they celebrated. I'm reading into that a little maybe, but maybe kids whinged. There was exuberance and it was joyful as they praised God. This wasn't a boring gathering. People in general, I love this. They liked what they saw. And every day their number grew as God added to those who were being saved. And I want to say, continue to be saved, because I keep going on needing to be saved and be transformed in the way of Jesus. And so I want to just for a couple of minutes in asking this question, what's the story we want to celebrate 12 months from now? I want to talk about four thoughts just for a few moments. And this is what we're going to explore over the next 4 weeks. The number one is our conviction about mission, our conviction about spiritual formation, our conviction about authentic community, and our conviction about why we gather together. The first one, mission. I'm hoping that 12 months from now, we can celebrate and we find some way through some communication for everyone who sees themselves as part of the Good Life community to be able to express and say, wow, at the beginning of 2022, maybe you're really clear about where you fit on God's mission. But I know, because people have told me, that some people go, I don't know where I fit. I don't know what God's calling me to do. But imagine if by the end of 22, you could say, I'm playing my part in God's mission to renew all things. Do you know God has a mission? Not the church. God has a mission, and we get to join him in that mission. And you know what the mission is? It's the renewal of all things. Right from the beginning, this is the good news. God has never, ever given up on his creation. Through every stage we read throughout the history of God's people in the scriptures, we read that every single time God's people get off track, they walk down the path of injustice, they become selfish, they become all about themselves. God sends his prophets. He always sends someone graciously to say, I'm calling you back to get on board with your purpose, to be a light to the nations, and to embody my love for all people. From the refugee, from the foreigner who wanders across your lands, to even your enemies, Jesus says, love them. And this breaks the cycle of violence in our world. And so what I'm praying and hoping, we have this extraordinary center here. A phenomenal resource and opportunity. Thousands of people come through here every week. Imagine if with me, just for a moment, if so many of us that haven't yet identified or worked out, where do I fit in this whole thing? Could identify by the end of this year, I found my spot for this season. I never thought I could be a chaplain that could come in and serve the thousands of people that come into this center every week. I never realized I could go to a nursing home and sit with someone in their most difficult time and be the very presence of God with them in that moment. I never realized the joy of hanging out at the skate park just outside behind that concrete wall with a whole bunch of teenagers like I did for a few minutes on Friday afternoon before I realized I was 47 and it was a long time since I've skated. But it's still in my head as I'm still that person. And I saw all these young people, I saw these youth leaders who have found their place of mission as they serve kids in our community. Or the kids team, or the boost team, or the many, many teams right across our community and even beyond. Imagine if every person here, the business person who says, I don't really know where I fit, I'm a busy guy, I run a business. Yeah, that's your mission. Last year, I shared a message called Thank God You're Here. And the idea of it was to say, imagine every time you walk into your business environment, your school, wherever you are and be positioned, when you turn up, the hope could be that somebody else thinks in their head or says outside of their mouth, oh, thank God you're here. Rather than what so often has been the case with religious people throughout history, like, oh my goodness, get away from me. Annoying religious people who are just all about themselves rather than sacrificially loving and caring for those around about them. Wouldn't that be incredible? So imagine this year we could identify where I'm playing my part in God's mission to renew all things. The second aspect of this we'll explore in detail is this conviction of spiritual formation. We cannot engage in God's mission in the world if we are not formed in the way of Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God needs to be at work in our hearts, transforming our character and us in such deep ways. Thomas Merton, a famous writer, tells a story about an area when he was talking to a Hindu monk who is saying why the Christian missionaries weren't as effective in this particular community. Sure, they set up hospitals and they set up education centers, but he said the problem was the people weren't moved by the faith because they were looking for saints and they didn't see anyone that looked any different to them. So they didn't see any reason why they would be interested in that message. And Thomas Merton reflects on that in saying, unless we are formed radically in the way of Jesus in an ongoing way, what exactly are we inviting people to participate in with us? Because if we say, come and learn the way of Jesus and the way of love, but we look nothing like that, at least going on that journey, it's hard for people to see Jesus unless they see Jesus at work in our own lives. And when I think about spiritual formation, I want to end this year with a commitment and a conviction where I say, I want to be more formed in the Jesus way of love. Because I need to be. Because as a parent, every single day, I have to reorientate my heart, my mindset, my practices, my behavior in the way of love. I met with my group that I'm part of last Thursday night. And as I sat there and I listened and I shared, once again, I was reminded, I need others and I need to be formed in the ways and the practices of Jesus. Can you imagine if we ended this year, and this is a cool idea we're talking about, imagine if the majority of our church, I mean, I'm all for everyone, could say, hey, I went on a spiritual retreat this year. And on that weekend away with a small band of friends or a community, or maybe even some people you didn't even know, I not only experienced deep transformation in my heart, but I learned some of the practices of silence and solitude. And we shared our stories with one another in ways that I've never shared with anyone else. And then we ate together and we had fun together. And I went away from that weekend going, surely God was in that place. Wouldn't that be cool? This is just part of what we're talking about as we explore with our team, what things could look like as we create a pathway for us to all go on a deeper spiritual formation journey. And I'm very excited about that. The third component is community. Our conviction is that community matters. And I want to belong and help others belong in authentic community. And let me tell you why this is so critically important, because there's a lot of lonely people in the world. And you can be an extrovert like me, and you can walk into a crowd and you can still be alone. You can come into a service on a Sunday morning or our Sunday night service kicking off tonight, and you can walk in and feel deeply unknown by others. And we need to make sure that no one in our community stands alone, walks the journey of life with all its pain and challenges, with the exciting moments and the low moments, alone. Last week, Teresa shared an amazing message that it was, and the feedback's been overwhelming. I'm like, I got to learn how to do that. but she shared such a powerful moment in that message that encapsulates what I think authentic community for us needs to continue to look like. When she shared about the service she was at, where our boy who's six, who has special needs, was having such a challenge, and she just went, I can't do this. And she left and she drove off around and texted me and said, let me know when you're ready. And as she was driving, she said, that's not the kind of community that I want others to have to experience. I want people to be able to struggle and be who they are and not have it all together. And you don't have to wear your Sunday best and have your kids do everything right and perfect to fit in this place. As a matter of fact, the beauty of this community can be we look so messy, but it also equally looks so much like love. I want that. My friends want that. And we need to learn how to become that kind of community. And the fourth and final thing is our gatherings. 12 months from now, wouldn't it be amazing if we could celebrate the fact that I have a deep desire to celebrate, to connect, and to contribute to the gathering that I am part of. And I would think it would be incredible if everyone in this place, everyone online could say, whatever you're gathering, online, here, Sunday night, some other time of the week, you could say, I found a place that's committed to the mission of God, to spiritual formation in the way of Jesus' radical love, to authentic community, where I can celebrate what God is doing and what He's doing amongst our community, where I can find deep connection and I can help bring people in to connect. And then I have a place where I can contribute my gifts, my talents, my resources in ways that looks like Jesus' kingdom that He invites us to participate in. So my friends, as we finish today, I'm asking you, I'm inviting you to reflect afresh and say, is there any part of what we were just talking about then where your heart beats a little bit faster and you say, yeah, I want to be part of that in this next chapter? Because if it is, then I'm inviting you to join me in that authentic wrestle, struggle, questions, trying to work out how we do that, failing forwards, you may call it, whatever it may be. But our commitment and our conviction is that these things are worth giving our lives to for the glory of God and for the love of our neighbors. And if you, any part of you says, yeah, that's what I'm going to be part of, I want to pray now, and then we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And I want with all of our hearts for us to express our gratitude to God that we get to be part of the new and the next thing that God is going to do in our community. And I come from a Pentecostal background. And so when the preachers that I listened to as a little kid would finish a message, they would say almost every single time, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? Lord God, we are so grateful that we get the incredible opportunity and privilege to join you in the renewal of all things. That wherever there is hell, we get to bring the life of heaven, of your love, of your grace, compassion, mercy, justice. Lord, may you transform our hearts, and like on that day of Pentecost, may your Spirit fill us in a fresh way. We do not have it all together, God, so we need to be formed in your way. May we join together, link arms, join in community, and explore together what the new thing is you're going to do, the next thing you're inviting us to do by faith. And may we be a community of faith, of hope, and love that brings honor to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.